you believe. Assault is an act, not an adjective. Your safety is not just on the gun, it is the gun. Freedom is a fundamental human right. Welcome to your show, Two-Way Radio with Bill Carnes. What do you believe? Your safety is your responsibility, not the government, not anybody else's. Be a citizen, not a subject. Better yet, be a listener, because it's an inalienable right, not a privilege. The Two-Way Radio Show with Bill Carnes is live right now. Call 1-800-313-9443.
And welcome to the show, everyone. Appreciate everybody tuning in. It is Thursday, May 28th, 2009. I am still dealing internally with this big struggle of Obama nominating Judge Sonia Sotomayor to the Supreme Court. And I believe that the name Sotomayor is appropriate because I feel as though I'm being sodomized by this appointment, as all of us should be. Here's the story. The White House is telling us all about Judge Sotomayor's compelling personal story, and it's an amazing story of what is possible, quote, only in America. But compelling personal stories are not the question. Miguel Estrada was nominated to the D.C. Court of Appeals by George W. Bush, Bush 2, and was planning on nominating him to the Supreme Court, who also had a very compelling story. It's a Hispanic immigrant who legally came to this country not even speaking English. Democrats in the Senate filibustered Mr. Estrada. Never got the appointment. Supporters point out that Judge Sotomayor was first appointed by George H.W. Bush, Bush 1, for the federal trial court, before Bill Clinton elevated her to the Second Circuit Court of Appeals. That's true. But George H.W. Bush, who also gave us Justice David Souter, who's retiring, so clearly he wasn't too careful about putting liberals on the federal bench. We can't allow the left to hide behind the bushes. But when it comes to the gun rights, we don't need to guess. Judge Sonia Sotomayor has put in writing what she thinks. President Obama has nominated a radically anti-Second Amendment judge to be our newest Supreme Court justice. There are a number of pro-Second Amendment Democrat senators from deeply red states, including Mark Begich of Alaska, John Tester and Mark Baucus from Montana, Ben Nelson from Nebraska, Byron Dorgan from and Kent Conrad from North Dakota, and Tim Johnson from South Dakota. These senators will jeopardize their seats if they vote to support an anti-gun radical from the Supreme Court. Second Amendment supporters will now be up in arms over this radical anti-Second Amendment nominee. And you should never underestimate the political power of American gun owners. So that leaves it to us, ladies and gentlemen. That leaves it to us to contact our senators and let them know that Obama should not be allowed to have the red carpet rolled out in front of him for his entire presidency, as it has thus far the first few months in office, for him to just steamroll through and get whatever he wants, including a judge who puts the entire Constitution of the United States at risk, having said that the states, the Second Amendment doesn't apply to them. Well, that would mean that all of the Bill of Rights wouldn't apply, not just part of it. So if the Bill of Rights don't apply to the states, that means that they don't apply to you or I, which means the Constitution's out the window. If this is the type of Supreme Court nominee that you believe we should have, then go for it. If it's a type of thing, if you agree with me, that she should not be on there, she has no business being on there, and Obama has no business appointing her, nominating her, then we need to contact our senators. Stick around through the break.
Your right to listen and take action shall not be infringed. 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes is back. 1-800-313-9443.
Uncle Sam's out in to shoot me. And welcome back from the break. So, here we go. Another little bit of a story continuing with this Judge Sotomayor saga. It's a sad tale. Sotomayor's nomination on Obama, by Obama, is a slap at the Second Amendment. The nomination of Second Circuit Court Judge Sonia Sotomayor to replace retiring Justice David Souter on the U.S. Supreme Court is a slap at the gun owner's rights and the Second Amendment, says the Second Amendment Foundation. That's who wrote this story, so you'll hear those references. Judge Sotomayor, a New York native, ruled on a Second Circuit Appeals Court panel that the Second Amendment is not a fundamental right and does not apply to the states in the case of Maloney versus Cuomo. This ruling is in direct conflict with a Ninth Circuit ruling in the Nordyke versus King case in California that the Second Amendment is incorporated through the Due Process Clause of the 14th Amendment. Now, I take issue with that, although they say that it's you know, the Second Amendment is an individual right, but to incorporate in with the 14th Amendment is ridiculous, because the Second Amendment was passed with nine others, the first 10 amendments known as the Bill of Rights. The 14th came, you know, 70 or 80 years later. All right. Here's a quote from a Second Amendment Foundation guy, Alan Gottlieb. He's the guy that actually started the Second Amendment Foundation. While Democrats in Congress have been making great strides in the gun rights arena, refusing to consider a renewal of the Clinton gun ban and offering overwhelming bipartisan support for legislation allowing citizens to carry firearms in national parks, President Obama just demonstrated that he prefers judges who oppose Second Amendment rights. Imagine that. Incorporation may be taken up by the High Court during its next session beginning in October, because attorneys in the Maloney case plan to appeal in late June. If the Maloney appeal is accepted by the Supreme Court, would Justice Sotomayor, provided she is confirmed, recuse herself from deliberations? Probably not. Judge Sotomayor has written an opinion that declined to order the release of certain information under the Freedom of Information Act. In one case, according to the Scouts blog, she wrote that the, quote, unwarranted invasion of privacy, end quote, for individuals whose names would be released under the Freedom of Information Act request outweighed the public interest. Here's another quote for you. Would a Justice Sotomayor be just as protective of the privacy rights of concealed carry permit holders if a newspaper wanted to publish that information, was asked by Gottlieb of the Second Amendment Foundation? That's in reference to that exact occurrence that happened in Arkansas, that a newspaper reporter got a hold through Freedom of Information Act all the names of all the concealed carry permit holders in the state and published it with their names and addresses in the newspaper, in his newspaper. Now, that included people who were undercover officers that went through CCW permit things in an effort to keep track of their cover, women who had restraining orders against men that the men weren't allowed to know where they live, but now they could look in the paper, put all kinds of people in jeopardy. Plus, just, I mean, whose business is it, right? We hope that during Senate confirmation hearings, someone asks about her positions on incorporation and the privacy rights of gun owners. The Second Amendment needs to be expanded, not eviscerated. So here we go. Here we go again. Thank you, Obama, for adding a scumbag to as your first potential nomination. I can't believe that anyone would be so ignorant as to believe that if the Second Amendment doesn't apply to the states, that the states can control the Second Amendment on their own. Why wouldn't that mean the entire Bill of Rights? Or for that matter, every amendment, or even the entire Constitution? Certainly the Bill of Rights. So that means you now can be subject to unreasonable search and seizure. you now can be subject to have to testify, be compelled to testify against yourself for self-incrimination. And on and on. Here's a little bit of a story called Sonia Sotomayor, Gun Rights and Racial Preferences, Why Libertarians and Everyone Who Believes in Limited Government Should Worry About Barack Obama's Supreme Court Nominee. Barack Obama's announcement that he wants Federal Appeals Court Judge Sonia Sotomayor to replace retiring Supreme Court Justice David Souter comes as something less than a shock. For months, Sotomayor's name has been topped on most lists of potential candidates. With her compelling personal story, which stretches from a Bronx, New York housing project to Yale Law School to the Federal Second Court of Appeals, Sotomayor's likely appointment as the court's first Hispanic justice nicely complements Obama's own Only in America narrative. Now keep in mind, this Yale Law School, the guy that's a former dean of the Yale Law School, that believes that international policy should be able to dictate the way that this country runs, especially when it comes to Second Amendment issues, that international groups should be allowed to dictate that on an international basis, especially here in America, has been nominated as the chief legal counsel to the State Department. So Yale Law School isn't doing us any good here. That is not a very good thing on the resume for people who actually believe in freedom and rights. Continuing, but when it comes to her judicial philosophy, there are some real causes for concern. In particular, on the hot burn issue of affirmative action and Second Amendment rights, her record suggests a decidedly liberal version of constitutional law. Consider affirmative action, which is nothing but reverse discrimination. Last month, the Supreme Court heard oral arguments in the case of Ricky versus Desfanto, which centered on charges of reverse discrimination at the New Haven, Connecticut Fire Department. In 2003, the department administered a test to fill 15 captain and lieutenant vacancies. But when the results came in, no African Americans made the cut. 14 whites and one Hispanic earned the top score. In response to local pressure, the city then refused to certify the result and decided instead to leave the positions open until a suitable new test was developed. This prompted a lawsuit from a group of white firefighters who had been denied promotion, including lead plaintiff Frank Ricci, a 34-year dyslexic who said he spent months preparing for the now-voided test by listening to audio tape study guides as he drove to work. So there's your reverse discrimination. Ricci's suit was initially thrown out at the district court level, prompting an appeal to the Second Circuit Court. At that point, Sotomayor joined in an undersigned opinion embracing the district court's analysis without offering any analysis of its own. This prompted fellow Second Circuit Court Judge Jose Cabarenas, a liberal Democrat appointed by Bill Clinton, to issue a stern rebuke. Here's a quote from him. The opinion contains no reference whatsoever to the constitutional claim at the core of this case, Cabarenas wrote. This perfunctory disposition rests uneasily with the weighty issue presented by this appeal. It's an important point. Ricci gets at the very heart of the debate over whether the Constitution should be interpreted as a colorblind document. As the liberal legal commentator Emily Bozolin noted in Slate Online, if Sotomayor and her colleagues were trying to shield the case from Supreme Court review, her punt had the opposite effect. It drew Cabarenas air, and he hung a big old red flag in the case, which the Supreme Court grabbed. Given that the court is likely to side with Ricci and his fellow plaintiffs, Sotomayor's silent endorsement of New Haven's reverse discrimination is certain to come back to haunt her during her confirmation hearings. Equally troubling is Sotomayor's record on the Second Amendment. Imagine that. This past January, the Second Circuit issued its opinion in Maloney versus Cuomo, which Sotomayor joined, ruling that the Second Amendment does not apply against states and local governments. At issue was a New York ban on various weapons, including nunchucks. after last year's District of Columbia versus Heller, which struck down D.C.'s handgun ban, attention turned to whether state and local gun control might violate the Second Amendment as well. It's a settled law, Sotomayor said at the Second Circuit level, that the Second Amendment applies only to limitations the federal government seeks to impose on the right. But contrast that to the Ninth Circuit decision last month in Nordyke versus King, which reached a very different conclusion that one matches the Second Amendment text, original meaning, and history. Here we go. We therefore conclude that the right to keep and bear arms is deeply rooted in the nation's history and tradition. Colonel revolutionaries, colonial revolutionaries and founders, and a host of commentators and lawmakers living during the first 100 years of the Republic all insisted on the fundamental nature of the right. It has long been regarded as the true palladium of liberty. Colonists relied on it to assert and to win their independence and the victorious Union shot to prevent a, whatever that word is, reclitarian South from abridging it less than a century later. The crucial role is deeply rooted and its rights has played in our birth and history compels us to recognize it, and it's indeed fundamental. Now, this is all part of the ruling out of the very liberal Ninth Circuit just a couple months ago. Judge Sotomayor, you're out of touch. Stick around through the break. This is Bill Carnes with 2A Radio.
Irresponsible people have no business owning a gun or listening to this show. 2A Radio with Bill Carnes. 1-800-313-9443.
And welcome back to the show. Continuing on about the split between the Second Circuit Court and the Ninth Circuit Court. Now, keep in mind, the Ninth Circuit has widely been referred to as the most liberal, out-of-touch circuit in the entire country. And the Second Circuit, which had a much more liberal view of the Second Amendment, had an opinion by Justice Sonia Judge Sonia Sotomayor. Wouldn't be justice unless she was on the Supreme Court. So, the split between these two courts, the Ninth and the Second, on the Second Amendment, means that the Supreme Court is almost certain to take up the question in the near future. What role might soon-to-be Justice Sotomayor play if she's actually confirmed? As gun rights scholars and Independent Institute researcher director David Koppel said during an email, Sotomayor's opinion, quote, demonstrate a profound hostility to Second Amendment rights. If we follow Senator Obama's principle that senators should vote against justices who view on legal issues are harmful, then it is hard to see how someone who supports the Second Amendment rights could vote to confirm Sonia Sotomayor. So, end quote. So there is a direct quote basically pushing this back against Senator Obama, now being President Obama, going against what he said once before. Imagine that. It's talking out of both sides of his filthy mouth. As a disrespected jurist with an impressive legal resume, actually, it's a respected jurist with an impressive legal resume, just my own little Freudian slip going, Sotomayor appears just as qualified to sit on the Supreme Court as any recent nominee. But from the standpoint of individual liberty and limited constitutional government, there are significant reasons to be wary of her nomination. The reason is she is an out-of-touch, anti-constitutionalist sort of justice. We can thank that, I would imagine, in large part to her having gone to Yale Law School. I have yet to meet anybody who's a member of the bar that came out of Yale Law School with any sort of conservative views whatsoever. So if you really want to turn somebody into a leftist scum sort of attorney slash judge send them to Yale. Send them to Yale. Now, you got to know some people. You got to have a couple of bucks. You got to be a limousine liberal to begin with. Or be ultra bright and really, really test well, which is how Sotomayor went through. She was not silver spoon fed. This is what we get. So how do we handle it, guys? How do we handle it? Quite honestly, I got to tell you, if she gets on the Supreme Court, that's going to be a line in the sand for me. I'm going to be done with the niceties of the way that I handle myself in the political realm. That is a line in the sand for me. Because this sort of thing, when it comes to someone who is blatantly against a right guaranteed to us within the Constitutional, the Bill of Rights, says, well, you know, through this interpretation and that interpretation, I'm going to say, no, the states have control. Well, I tell you what, there's something that went on in Kansas. And in Kansas, both houses of the state legislature decided, you know what, we're going to put it to the vote of the constituents here in Kansas. And here's what it's going to be. They're going to vote on it this next November voting cycle. And that's going to be to amend the state constitution to where every citizen within the state of Kansas has the right to keep and bear arms for personal protection use. Regardless of what happens at the federal level, you'll always be guaranteed that in Kansas, provided that the constituents of Kansas votes to say, yes, let's add that to the Constitution. We need to have a referendum in the other 49 states of this country. Now, I haven't read every state constitution. That might already be on some. But this needs to be at the level of every single state. And we cannot allow, like, say, in Illinois, the anti-gun politicians to stand in the way of it. It should be put to a vote of the people. Very simple language. Very simple language that everyone can understand. Something along the lines of, and I'm just kind of stabbing in the dark here with nothing in front of me. The right of the citizens of this state to keep and bear arms for the uses of personal protection, hunting, and sporting uses shall not be abridged, amended, or infringed in any way whatsoever. How about that? Could you imagine if that was at the state level in all 50 states? Huh? How about it? How about throw in maybe something where we can carry guns? How about that? It should be very simple, something that the judges don't need to look at to interpret, because it's right there in front of your face. That way we don't have to worry about what happens at the federal level. We don't have to worry about it. We don't have to worry about ATF. We don't have to worry about the Supreme Court. We don't have to worry about any laws that are passed down at the federal level. We don't have to worry about any of that because we'll secure it at the state level. Tell me what you think. Send me emails, bill@2aradio.com. Stick around. We'll be right back after the break.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
Rule one, assume it's loaded. Rule two, don't point it at anything you're not willing to destroy. Rule three, listen to the 2A Radio Show with Bill Karn. 1-800-313-9443. Bill Karn, 1-800-313-9443.
The riot of today begins with the infantile, intestinal fortitude-free anti-gunners that will not stand up for what they believe. We as pro-gun people will stand up for our right to keep and bear arms, for self-protection, for doing whatever the hell it is we want to do legally with our guns. We'll even wear shirts. We'll have bumper stickers. You know, we'll post signs outside of our house that say, "This house protected by the 357 Magnum," or "This house protected by a gun-owning shotgun lover," something like that. Do you see this same sort of dedication with anti-gunners? No. Here's a little tidbit written by a guy named Bill Redman out of Hendersonville. What state, I don't know. To the editor, I suspect that one reason there are not more home invasions is the fact that potential intruders fear what might be behind the door. If the anti-gun advocates really practice what they preach, then post a large sign in your yard informing all that there are no guns in this house, you have nothing to fear, we trust everyone. If you don't, then you're hiding behind those who believe in the Second Amendment. In fact, you do. If you're an anti-gunner and you don't believe that guns belong anywhere in society, why don't you park your car next to the person that has a sign or a bumper sticker or any sort of sticker that says something, say, about the Second Amendment, or "Don't fear the dog, fear the owner," and it's got a picture of a revolver on it or something. Why don't you put a little sticker on the back of your car for your cause? Gun-free vehicle, gun-free owner, or the house gun-free zone. We do trust all. Protected by police, not by myself. How about something like that? How about not grow any sort of intestinal fortitude? I'm sorry, I had other words on my mind. It took me a minute to get it radio qualified. Why not grow any sort of intestinal fortitude to stand up and say, "I am anti-gun. I don't have them. I don't think you should either." Why don't you put that on your shirt? Put that on your car. Put that in front of your house or apartment or wherever you live. The box on the street underneath the overpass. Put it wherever. "Hey, no weapons here. No guns, no knives, no nothing. I am a pacifist." Why not just put that on there if you truly are? In an emergency, I dial 911. How about that? Let the police handle it. The police that have no legal responsibility to have to provide personal protection to any one citizen. Why not step up to the plate, you anti-gunners? You pathetic, whining, little, infantile scum. Why not stand up with a sack full of pride and say, "You know something? I am going to launch, with the information at hand, how I believe and the way I think the rest of the world should be." At least the gay community has a lot more fortitude than you do. They'll put little rainbows or purple triangles or whatever it is on their stuff all the time. You, as an anti-gunner, don't have the nuts to do that. You won't stand up and say, "I am anti-gun." Or have some sort of a sticker that say, "Guns do not belong in a civilized society." How about that sort of sticker? Would you put that on your car? The answer is no. You won't. And you know why? Because you hide behind those of us who provide you some sort of protection. Because we refuse to be a victim ourselves. We carry guns because we know that carrying a cop is a little too heavy and somewhat inconvenient. And quite honestly, not a bunch of cops I've ever run into are very good conversationalists for the long term. I can't afford a cop of my own. So instead, I just happen to carry the gear and get the training to that level, or, in most cases, beyond the level of the average average person that carries a firearm for a living. I am better trained than any cop that I know. However, I've dedicated my life to not just being trained, but to being a trainer. I have trained some of the highest end people there are out there in this country. I, myself, and several others that dedicate what they do to this sort of thing. Why? Because bad guys need a little bit of discipline. And if they decide to pick the wrong victim, guess who's going to input that discipline? It's not the courts. It ain't the cops. It certainly isn't going to be anybody in the judicial system by any means. There was a cop killed in San Francisco a few months ago that was a multiple-time felony loser that was up on more charges of a violent nature. The judge allowed this person back out onto the street before trial. And what did he do? He killed a cop. So you tell me that the justice system is going to administer justice? No. If someone brings the fight to me, some turd is going to come up to me, just some scumbag of the street is going to come up to me and threaten me, my life, or threaten me with serious bodily injury. Now, to myself or anybody in my immediate area, guess what? If I am in fear of death or serious bodily injury for myself or someone else in my immediate area, lethal force is therefore authorized, I can pull my gun out and stop them. And firing a couple rounds into a bad guy happens to be a little bit of discipline that's needed, only can be administered by those of us who carry guns and happen to be in that situation when they decide to launch an attack. We can't go looking for it. Unfortunately, you can't just go sweeping through the streets, finding scumbags, and administering discipline. You can't do that in this country. In some cases, is it a good idea? Yes. But writing the exceptions to that rule would be way too difficult. Unless, of course, you have a better answer. You can email it to me, bill@2aradio.com. I'd be happy to read it. Quince, something tells me you're listening and you may have an answer. If you do, shoot me an off an email, my brother. Why is it that the anti-gunners won't stand up? People who are pro-choice or pro-life or pro-gay or pro-who knows what else. Maybe vegetarians will put a vegetarian bumper sticker on their car. Maybe people who do nothing but eat meat of animals that they hunt themselves would put that on their car. But anti-gunners won't do it. You pathetic little whiners. You rely on us. You need us. Your life depends on us. Because if we were not here with our guns, crime would be rampant in every major city in America. In the small towns, it would be higher than it is now. But traditionally, small towns have less crime. The reason is, bad guys have a vastly deeper sea of victims from which they can administer their form of life and their crime against all these other people in a big city. And they can band together in gangs and do this together. Smaller towns, not so much. Are there some bad elements in small towns? Yes. Are there some bad small towns that don't have very many good elements? Yes. But I'm speaking in glittering generalities. Don't go to El Paso, Texas and try this stuff. El Paso, Texas is not a place for bad guys to go. They have the national crime statistics. El Paso, Texas is far below that. The Salt Lake City area, far below the national average. Boise, Idaho, far below the national average. Why? Because people there carry guns, and bad guys are afraid more of civilians with guns that would otherwise be their intended victim than any other thing at all in their criminal ventures. They're not nearly as afraid of the police as they are of an armed citizen. Why? They don't attack police directly. If bad guys would attack police directly, make them their intended victims, well, then the cops would always handle this, but they don't. Why not? Because the cops carry guns and they're trained to use them. And they'll arrest your butts. That's why criminals don't go after cops. If the criminals know that you've got a gun and you're trained, they're not going after you either. The lions on the tundra in Africa, Don't go after the biggest, baddest, strongest gazelle so they can have a bigger meal. No, they go after the weak little gazelle that falls to the rear of the herd. And if they can get two of them, that's a lot better than trying to get the one big, strong one up front. That's just the way of the wild. And when these wild, unethical scumbags who do nothing but prey on the weak people in society, well, guess what? God created men. Sam Colt made them equal. You take that weak little gazelle of a person that's fallen to the back of a herd, and you give him a 1911, chambered in .45 ACP with a 230 gray ball ammo. And here comes Mr. Bad Guy looking for little weak gazelle and launches his attack. And little weak gazelle person pulls out this 1911 and fires two or three rounds into the chest of the bad guy. Guess what? The bad guy just invited that sort of reaction by threatening little Mr. Gazelle or Miss Gazelle with threat of imminent death or serious bodily injury due to their attack. Well, now Sam Colt made him equal. That is why guns are necessary in this society. If you are an anti-gunner, that's great. You know, you can be as anti-gun as you want, but you rely on those of us who carry guns. Now, you might say, well, I rely on the police. That's fine. Do the police carry guns? Yes, police carry guns. So analyze it. Do you rely on somebody who's armed? Yes. Yes, you do. When it all is boiled down and all the froth and all the BS that you spew from your ignorant mouth has all been boiled down, you rely on someone who's got a gun. And you might say, well, that's police. That's part of their job. You may say that. The thing is, I don't think that society should have to hire out somebody for my self-protection. I take care of it myself. And quite honestly, I have yet to meet a beat cop who's going to show up to one of these things that is better trained than I, that can handle the situation better than me. If I come home and I hear any member of my family, any member of the household screaming as though there's a bad guy in there threatening their life or threatening them with serious bodily injury, I tell you what, I'm going to dial 911 and set the phone down, my cell phone down, so they can find where it is, and I'm going in there to handle it now. If I believe the cops are close, I'll wait until after I go in there, because quite honestly, the street cops, who might not go in there anyhow, they may wait for a SWAT call out, and an hour later somebody goes in there, well, that's way too long. And the flip side is, these street cops aren't anywhere near trained to the level that they should be when it comes to guns. It's not their fault. There's not enough time and money involved in their job and in the budget of their departments to train them up to the level at which they should be. And quite honestly, some of them aren't trainable up to the higher levels. Can they still be cops and be relatively effective in their job, not being the best with a gun? Yes. Should that be an essential part of their job? Yes. My opinion, Bill Karn's opinion, having been a street cop in Vegas and two of the lousiest areas of town. Yes. Cops should know how to run a gun, how to hit what they shoot at, how to do small unit tactics with other people that might show up. Maybe only two cops are there, maybe only one, maybe three. You should be able to say, okay, this is the plan we're going to go with. Everybody's been trained up. They know what they're doing. And it's an easy mix. Go in there right now and handle it. Like the cop that handled the mass shooting down south in the nursing home. He went in there and handled it. Bad guy was done. Didn't coordinate off the place. Didn't have a SWAT call out. So you anti-gunners do rely on people with guns. I am going to go into my house before I want the cops to go in there in a hot situation where there's bad guys. Because I don't want any member of my household, any member of my family, shot when a cop can't hit the target if it turns into a gunfight. I know I can hit the bad guy. I damn well know it. And the thing is, I'd let the bad guys know it too. My house has got to be the safest house in the entire subdivision. I live out at a golf course. And I bet you my house is the safest one there. Because I make no bones about it that I am trained with guns and I am fully ready to use them if someone brings the fight to me. There's two people that own houses on the same block that I do. Both of them are absentee owners. They both live in another state, different states, and they come in and, you know, spend weekends here and there, you know, maybe a few days a month. And guess who they ask to watch over their property while they're gone? It's me. I live in a cul-de-sac. There is no through street. I know every car that comes up and down my block. I have stopped people on my block. And I let them know, look, I've seen you on the street a couple of times. You're not a resident here. You're not staying here. What is your business on this block? Are you coming up and turning around? And they know, hey, that there's eyes on. I am not going to screw around on this street. People know that. I have my own radio show about the Second Amendment, and I talk about shooting and guns and what it takes. Everything I'm doing right now. People know this. A bad guy would be absolutely suicidal to bring the fight to me because I'm trained beyond the level of law enforcement for the average beat cop. And I have dedicated what I do to a certain extent. Now, that doesn't mean everybody needs to be like me. By no means does everybody need to be like me. But get some training in there. And then you will be up to a level where you can comfortably have what's known as comfort in the skill at arms. And anti-gunners are going to rely on you, too. They rely on me. They rely on cops. They rely on other Second Amendment people. They're going to rely on you as well. Because they don't have what it takes to stand up and say, you know what? I'm not going to carry a gun, but I'm glad you guys do. Because they haven't analyzed it enough. They're anti-gun. They're stupid. Ignorant. Just dumb. Stick around through the break. This is Bill Carnes on 2A Radio. Gun control, loved by dictators since 1917. The 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes is back. 1-800-313-9443. And welcome back to the show. Thanks for sticking around through the break. Okay, finishing up for today. We have discussed the absolute atrocity of President Barack Obama nominating Sonia Sotomayor to the Supreme Court of the United States to fill the vacating seat of Judge David Sauter. Absolutely incredible. Just the balls that Obama has to nominate someone so unbelievably liberal, somebody so unbelievably anti-rights and anti-gun. He's going to get the guns one way or another. The thing is, the guy is slick. He's not up front. He's very, very slick. First, he tried the CIFTA treaty to get ratified through the Senate to have issues with guns after blowing up this whole thing with this BS deal that all these American guns are spilling over the border through straw purchases to Mexico. We blew holes in all that. He wanted to get stuff through Congress. And we had all kinds of Democrats in both houses say, we're not going to support any new gun legislation. So then what's he got? He's got a judge who is admittedly open said on videotape talked about the judges setting policy. And they said, oh, you know, well, I know it's not our job. It's up to the legislature to set policy. But we do it. And someone who has had such anti-gun rulings. So there you go. There's more than one way to skin a cat. And this is a cat skinning SOB we've got in the White House. He is a slick scumbag, just filthy as the day is long when it comes to, look, this is the way I think America should be. So I'm going to do what I can as President of the United States to accomplish it. I don't really care what everybody else thinks. I'm not really too concerned about what America as a whole thinks. And I'm not going to allow the Constitution to stand in my way. We had Eric Holder, his scumbag Attorney General of the United States, say, I don't believe that we're going to allow the Second Amendment to stand in our way when it comes to curbing gun rights to try to help out the violence in Mexico. The violence in Mexico is violent people. The guns just make it an easier tool. The violence is going to have begotten violence, regardless of the tools at hand. Then we get on to the entire deal of the anti-gunners not having enough balls to stand up and say, you know something? I'm going to let the whole world know that we should be a gun-free society. I'm going to let them know. I will be a victim. Now, you've got that fat porker in the name of Rosie O'Donnell that says we shouldn't have guns, but she's guarded by men with guns. You've got Senator Dianne Feinstein. She'll stand up with her filthy stinkhole and say, nobody should have guns. But yet, she's got a concealed weapons permit. Guns keep the bad guys at bay. Even the anti-gunners know it because their hypocritical nature proves it. I'd like to close by saying, to those of you within our government, we will be watching you, and Congress, the executive, and judicial branches all very closely as we organize to save our freedom, liberty, and country. We will not become the subjects of governmental rule. Thank you for spending your day with me here on 2A Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Send me your emails and have a wonderful day.
Bill will be here tomorrow. Will your freedom? The 2A Radio Show, 7 a.m. Pacific, 9 Central, Monday through Friday.